We delay the start of our scheduled program to bring you a special communique from the scene of the Big Three conference. We take you now to Berlin. Edward R. Murrow reporting.
This is Berlin. Here is an official communique just released. The Berlin Conference of the heads of the governments of the United Kingdom, the United States of America, and the Soviet Union met this afternoon at 5 o'clock. By invitation of his two colleagues, the President of the United States of America will preside at the meetings of the conference. The preliminary exchange of views took place on the matters requiring decision by the heads of the three governments. It was decided that the three hold regular meetings with a view to preparing the work of the conference. That is the end of the communique. I return you now to CBS in New York.
This broadcast has come to you from CBS World News. We now resume our scheduled program.
Monday through Friday at this time, the Columbia Broadcasting System presents Service Time. Every Tuesday afternoon, this program is devoted to the men who sail the ships of the United States Merchant Marine. In cooperation with the War Shipping Administration, Columbia brings you It's Maritime. It's Maritime, a program dramatizing the history and color of the American Merchant Marine. This is the story of the sea, the story of maritime America. Today you'll hear about two ships, the last pirate ship to menace American shipping and the first ship to be cited as a gallant ship. There'll be music with Ensign Philip Lang directing the orchestra of the Maritime Service Training Station of Sheepshead Bay. Yes, it's maritime. Today we're going to hear some traditional music of the sea, a medley based on music that's been sung and whistled by seamen since the days when pirates preyed on merchant shipping. Captain Kidd himself may have whistled some of the tunes you're going to hear in this sea medley. turn of the 20th century, Captain Thomas Fuller, a 90-year-old survivor of a fabulous era in American shipping, was still telling stories of his many colorful adventures. Now, the particular afternoon we have in mind, he told the story of a pirate ship to a young lady whose retort was...
Oh, go on, Pop. Tell me another.
I tell you so. And don't call me Pop.
All right, Grandpa. But a pirate ship near this country and not so long ago? Prove it.
I will, by Jiminy. I say, where is it?
Where's what?
Well, that newspaper I had here a moment ago.
Oh, do you mean this? This old copy of the Essex Register?
Yeah, that's it. Hey, give it to me.
Oh, don't get so excited. Here you are. Take these, too.
What's them?
Your glasses.
My glasses? I'll try them. I say, you read it. Your eyes are better than mine.
Well, why, it's all about that old pirate ship. It says, she is a topsail schooner, about 150 tons, painted black with one narrow white line around her hull. Her figurehead is a horn of plenty, also painted white.
Here, let me finish reading that. Where were you? Oh, yes. And she has an especially large, mean topmast like a Baltimore clipper. The pirate vessel carries no name that any man has ever seen. Midship, she has a long 32-pound swivel with four brass guns, two on each side. All American shipping is warned to be on the lookout for this craft, which is manned by a crew of cutthroat gunmen.
Captain Thomas Fuller remained a seaman at heart until the day he died in December 1906 at the age of 94. Tom Fuller, like most boys in old Salem, went to sea at an early age. At 17, he was cabin boy aboard a brig in the Cuban trade. The following year, he sailed to Europe. And in 1832, at the age of 20, he signed on as a member of the crew of the brig Mexican.
Heaven help you, fella.
What do you mean?
This ship's got a curse on her, that's what.
A curse?
She's always been a strange ship, from the very first. I swore on the last voyage I'd never sail on her again. But here I am.
You don't believe a ship could have a curse on her, do you?
I'm not the only one that thinks so. The cook didn't want to come aboard this morning. We had to get down to Mrs. Ranson's boarding house and coax him to come. And then as we were coming, a big black rooster flew up on a fence and flapped his wings and crowed at us. That's a very bad sign.
I don't believe in anything like that.
Just you wait, you'll see. And there's 13 in a crew.
Men, I've called you together to have a talk before we get too far out to sea. First of all, every one of you knows what we have aboard this ship. Ain't that right, Mr. Hapgood?
I don't understand what you mean, Captain.
What are we carrying on this voyage?
We got a cargo of tea. That's what the stuff looked like, sir, when it was carried aboard. There must be 100 or more chests of it.
That's not all we're carrying it, and you know very well. You tell me, Mr. Fuller, what else do we have aboard ship?
There's a rumor, sir, that we're carrying a large amount of money.
All of you know it. You saw it brought aboard. I don't mind telling you. We've got $20,000 in silver aboard this ship. You've also probably heard that it's stored under the cabin floor. I'm telling you the location of the silver because I expect every man aboard this ship to protect it with his life. It's the responsibility of every one of us. We're heading into water and infested with pirates. But pirates or no pirates, we're going to deliver the silver to Rio.
As the brig Mexican moved down along the coast, the crew found itself doing a lot of thinking and talking about the pirates who sailed the South Atlantic. Nothing worthy of note happened until the night of the 19th of September. Tom Fuller went below at midnight and slept till 4 o'clock in the morning when he had to stand watch. Upon stepping on deck, the first mate came forward in great excitement.
We've sighted an odd vessel, sir. There she is now to windward.
Aye, I see her. It's a strange-looking ship. Never saw a craft painted black before.
She crossed our stern twice.
Here comes the captain.
Keep a sharp lookout, men.
Aye, sir.
It's a very suspicious-looking vessel. With my glass, I've counted 30 men on her deck. We've altered our course and attacking westward. I want all sails set. We'll outdistance her if we can.
But the other ship came right after the Mexican. There was no escaping her. She was a long, low topsail schooner of about 150 tons, painted black with one narrow white line around her hull. No name could be seen on her. The crew of the Mexican prepared for the worst.
A shipload of pirates pursuing us, and all we got is two short carronades and a couple of kegs of powder.
We don't have much chance, I'm afraid.
She's bearing down on us, Mr. Fuller. We're lost.
There, she's firing at us.
All right there, man the battleship.
Right there!
The pirate ship came alongside the Mexican, and a swarthy band came over the side. They forced the crew into the forecastle, tied them up, closed and blocked all exits. Then they proceeded to ransack the entire vessel. They took all of the ship's instruments, clothing, food, and anything else of value they could find. One of the pirates discovered the hoard of silver. The pirates stole everything they could, and then set the Mexican afire. As soon as the pirate ship sailed away, Captain Butman and his crew managed to free themselves and set about repairing their ship. The repairs were completed in time to catch a gale that took the ship north. She dropped anchor in Salem Harbor on the 12th day of October, 1832. Captain Butman gave the authorities a full description of the pirate ship. 3 years later, she was overhauled on the African coast. Her crew was captured and brought to Boston, where 6 of the pirates were hanged. Thus, in 1835, ended the last recorded incident of pirates attacking an American merchant ship. Seamen all over the world are familiar with the dawn, the first rays of the sun shooting up above a distant horizon. Petty Officer Tommy Mercer salutes the sunrise with Daybreak Serenade.
To introduce the sun, that's to let you know your day's begun. The meadowlark begins to trill while traveling from hill to hill, echoing his daybreak serenade. The sleepy brook is busy babbling on its way, while the golden sunbeams start to play. The bluebird and the hummingbee all join to sing a symphony, bringing you a daybreak serenade. Lift your head and fill your heart with sunshine. Look up at the blue skies overhead. Out of bed and walk among the sunbeams. Time to brighten up you sleepy head. Now ain't you heard there's lots of work that must be done? Dreaming time is past and day's begun. Just listen to that morning prayer of Mother Nature everywhere, singing you the daybreak serenade.
This is the story of a gallant ship. It was built in Portland, Oregon, and turned over to the War Shipping Administration on the 17th day of November, 1942. They named her the SS Samuel Parker.
Is this the SS Samuel Parker?
Can't you read? You one of the cadet midshipmen?
That's right. Say, this is quite a ship.
When you've sailed on as many ships as I have. One's like any other.
Oh, gosh, I think she's a beauty.
First time I ever heard a Liberty ship called a beauty. I've heard them called a lot of other things. This your first voyage?
My first voyage. and the Parkers first. Oh, I sure am lucky to be sailing on her.
One ship's like another. Yes, sir. A ship's a ship.
The SS Samuel Parker, loaded full of Tacoma with lend-lease cargo, and sailed for Suez via Australia. He arrived at Port Said for final discharge and was loaned to the British for the North African campaign. That's where the story of the SS Samuel Parker really begins. Captain Elmestone recorded the story in his ship's log.
March 12th. Sailed from Alexandria in 14-ship convoy bound for Tripoli. Carrying 77 enlisted men, 3 officers, all British. Have borrowed 100 lifeboats, 3 rafts, from the British Army in Alexandria. Cargo consists of tanks, oil, gas, several thousand tons of bombs. March 15th. Low clouds. The rumble of heavy bombers can be heard upstairs. Gun crew ordered to stand by guns.
Man your battle stations. Man your battle stations.
If those are enemy planes, they're not dropping any bombs on our convoy, Jim.
I wish those clouds would blow away so that we could see what's flying over us.
No, Jim. The clouds protect us if they're Nazi planes.
I don't know, Fred. If they are, why don't they attack?
Maybe they can't see us. Or maybe they've got more important things to do.
Such as?
They're on their way to unload over Italy or Crete.
Fred, I'm going below for some coffee.
Hey, wait a minute, Jim. They're coming back.
Yeah, they're flying low this time.
Here comes one out of the clouds, Jim. It's a bomber. A big one. Get down, Jim.
Three bombers swooped down like hawks diving on a chicken yard. They dived down in a surprise attack. Our convoy shook from the explosions of their bombs. The sound like a couple of runaway express trains throttles open, roaring down some celestial railway track. We came through that attack without any damage. March 16th. Arrived Tripoli. The Nazis are determined to stop the flow of supplies to the front. They came over again last night, but we were ready for them. We sent up a lattice of traitors. The Nazi planes were like flies caught in a luminous spider web. Official tally, 5 positives, 1 probable enemy plane shot down.
This harbor's filling up with sunken ships.
Yeah, Jim, but not a single one from our convoy. Not yet.
Here comes our motorboat back. Fred, they picked up some men out of the water.
It's so dark, I can't see how many.
There, they turned the searchlights on them.
It looks like they've rescued 6 or 7 seamen.
Hey, there's some sort of a fish in the water.
Fish? Where?
Right there, in the path of the searchlight. Don't you see it swimming along? Diving up and down like...
That's not a fish! It's a torpedo!
It was a flying torpedo, about 8 feet long and 2 feet in diameter. These torpedoes have a mechanism with sufficient fuel to run for 2 or 3 hours. They're set to go in circles. If they fail to strike a target, the mechanism kicks over and straightens them out for a few yards. Then they travel in a circle again.
This torpedo got into a space between the Parker and another ship. It made 3 complete circles, hitting both ships, but not going off. The gun crew turned their machine guns on it, but seemed to have no effect. Then one of the British officers brought out a rifle.
Here. Let me have a try at it with this rifle.
Maybe it's a dummy torpedo, sir.
Here she comes again, straight at us.
Steady. Miss.
Fire again.
She's coming right at our number 3 hatch. This time I'll hit it. Steady.
That's how it was, day and night, while the Parker tried to unload her cargo. An aerial photograph of the harbor was fished out of one of the Nazi planes that had been shot down. On it was scribbled the names of 6 ships, and one of them was the Samuel Parker.
July 22nd. I guess they'd better take another ship down off the shelf. We've just about used this one up. We've been shot at, torpedoed, mined, and bombed. We've landed men and equipment at Sicily. We've sweated out air raids all the way across the Mediterranean. Tonight, We just had another big raid.
I want to volunteer. Gun down on that hatch to try and get that fire under control. Who'll come with me?
I will, sir.
I'll come.
Are you, Anderson? Grab that hose and follow me.
We went down into that hose and somehow managed to put out the fire. That was the night of our worst raid. We survived it. We came through badly battered. And next day we moved on to Malta and then to Tripoli and Algiers. And after that we headed across the Atlantic, headed for home. The maiden voyage of the SS Samuel Parker had lasted exactly 9 months and 12 days. She arrived in New York Harbor with more than 140 jagged battle scars, many of them great yawning holes. Captain Stull and two of his men received distinguished service medals. Each member of the crew was awarded a green and gray ribbon bar with a silver seahorse device. And the ship herself, the SS Samuel Parker, became the first American merchant vessel to be sighted as a gallant ship. Back in the days when pirates sailed the Spanish Main, most seamen sang shanties at their work. Many of those old shanties have been preserved and are still sung today. Here is Petty Officer Tony DeLeva with a shanty about a seagoing cook. It's Sail Away for the Rio Grande.
Our cook, he is a very dirty man. Sail away for the Rio Grande. He cooks the food as dirty as he can. Sail away for the Rio Grande. He serves the tea with the end of a rope, and in the bread we found a piece of soap. Our cook, he is a very dirty man. Sail away for the Rio Grande. Our cook, he is a very dirty man. Sail away for the Rio Grande. He cooks the food as dirty as he can. Sail away for the Rio Grande. Every sailor gets his fair peck of dirt. He boils a pudding in the tail of his shirt. Our cook, he is a very dirty man. Sail away for the Rio Grande. Sail away.
I've heard It's Maritime, one of a series of service time programs which is brought to you every day, Monday through Friday. It's Maritime is presented each Tuesday afternoon in cooperation with the War Shipping Administration. The music was played by the orchestra of the United States Maritime Service Training Station of Sheepshead Bay under the direction of Ensign Philip Lang. Join us again next week when It's Maritime. Cooks, butchers, and bakers are needed by the merchant marine. They are needed on troop ships bringing the boys home from Europe. No sea experience is necessary. If you're a cook, a butcher, or a baker, here's a chance for you to ship out for a trip or two and help in an emergency. The returning men are fed like kings. You can help. Write or wire collect to Merchant Marine, Washington, D.C., and do it today. Now, I'd like to repeat this important announcement. If you're a cook, butcher, or baker, you're needed by the Merchant Marine, and no sea experience is necessary. If you can help bring our boys back from Europe, write or wire collect to Merchant Marine, Washington, D.C., and do it right away. Maritime is written by Vincent McConner, narrated by George Shiplady, and directed by Ronald Dawson. Tomorrow, Service Time, in collaboration with the United States Army, will present Wax on Parade. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.